everybody. This is Imani and River from the Regeneration Series with Haven Earth PMA. Super excited to be here. This is probably our first live stream of 2022, maybe, with other guests on. I know we've done some updates, and many of you have been tracking us. We're here in Texas, and we just spoke at the Greater Reset and had some really wonderful connections and collaborations, and we wanted to share some of that with you. So we've invited a few of our new friends from Mod Garden. Amar, who's actually here in Texas with us, migrated from Canada, as well as Abundance Building Concepts. So we're really excited to have Grant and Gustavo share with us. So the first thing that we wanted to do is just kind of share a little bit, and maybe River, you can start with why it's so important and that we have these kind of collaborations building out this positive timeline that we're talking about.
So yeah, exactly. Hey, everyone. So grateful to have these guys on here. We had an amazing connection at the Greater Reset.
And thanks to John and Derek for the invitation to be there and everybody that tuned in.
Yeah. And all the people who participated and the volunteers and everybody. It was a real great success. I think what's really relevant for me and for us, I think, at Haven Earth is the shifts that are coming in 2022 and onward, and the real need for collaboration at this time. Obviously, the world's batshit crazy right now with everything that's going on, and a lot of people are focused in on the little details of this science here and what this one's doing here in this protest here. But what's behind all of that, I think a lot of people are not necessarily aware of, and the relevance of the solar minimum, grand solar minimum, as we track into this period of food scarcity, earth changes, extreme weather, and basically a migration out of the existing paradigm, out of the existing system. Anybody who is aware and awake to what's going on are going to be looking for alternative solutions of how they can get out of the system, how they can be self-reliant, how they can buffer themselves, their families, their communities with solutions that are going to give people the opportunity to get back to the land or to basically support themselves in the places where they are now. Because as we already seen the system down, the food supply chain. I mean, this whole thing with the truckers right now, everybody thinks it is one thing, but really what it is actually a cover for what's coming. And what's coming is a massive shift. So we be prepared for that. And I think what's really relevant is people like ourselves who have knowledge and have skill around architecture, around building, around growing food in ways that bring solutions together in a collaborative way where we're looking to find some ultimate solutions that are going to support people in a way that are efficient, affordable, and
effective
and able to be rolled out in a timely way, because time is of the essence right now.
So I think that the timing is absolutely essential, and there's always this divine orchestration that's unfolding. So I think connecting all with all of you, as well as Jim Gale, who is there, who is from the Abundant Food Forest Abundance, who's wanting to build out a hemp structure. And I know that he talked with all of you, and we're looking at ways that we can all work together, as well as Ben Swan and Joel Salatin. So I think everyone showed up at this event knowing that this is the time, and that the collaboration of sharing the creativity, sharing our search for solutions, and sharing a willingness. And what I really appreciate about what each of you shared to us personally is a bigger vision that's driving us to really move forward humanity and in the ways that we all want to move forward. So that was, our reason for inviting you, because we share that similar vision. So I think it would be really great to start with you, Amar, because we were side by side with you at our booth. But, for me, having an organic cafe where I raised my, children, homeschooled them, food has always been a big part of our curriculum and our life. And I love what you have going on with the Mod Garden, the kind of growing your food at home for the people, like River said, that may not be returning to the land, that may need to be finding solutions that are immediate. So I want you to share a little bit about your vision. And just to also preface that all of us, as we're building out the Sovereign Village and you're building out your businesses and your models, are in the beginning phase. And that was what I thought was so exciting, because we're all launching our fundraisers to fund that. And we had, you know, met and talked, and then we had a dinner meeting before we left. And we're like, we need to figure out a way to work together and support each other so that we can move this forward even faster. So would love to invite you to share a little bit about your vision. And I'll put up the website for people to check out to see a visual of what you're up to.
Okay, awesome. Thank you very much for inviting me, and really feel privileged to be here. I guess it comes down to something that I experienced in my life early on, and I'll keep this short. I got sick, and I couldn't figure out why I was sick and why I was getting migraine headaches, for instance. And long story short, I ultimately found out that that it was the food that I was eating, that I was putting into my body, that wasn't providing me with the minerals necessary for me to live a vital and energetic life. And as I peeled away the layers of, well, where's our food really coming from today, especially for those people who are living in mega city environments or large city environments, it's coming from very far away. And it's coming from a place where the sources are murky. We don't know exactly what the inputs are that are going into the soil that's growing our food. And that was my aha moment. And it took me back in history a little bit to understand, well, what happened 100 years ago when our food was pure and when we used to live around agrocentric societies. So people or communities used to live around farms. That was the norm. And then as cities grew, the farms continued to get pushed further and further away and marginalized. The farmers became more marginalized. And at the end of it, the consequences that the food suffers, because we've now moved into a more of an Amazon.com model, where we're commodifying everything or commoditizing everything. You know, to commoditize, you know, an iPhone case, for instance, is one thing, but to commoditize food and to make it efficient and create it in a factory-like manner, which is exactly what Walmart and Costco's are doing, and now Amazon. And it is not a good thing that Amazon.com bought Whole Foods.
Correct.
So my ultimate goal here was with Mod Garden was to figure out, we're not going to be able to stop the trend of megacity development. We're not going to be able to, this is a massive train, and I'm not here to fight big corporations, at least not right now. I'm here to kind of understand what the trends are, and then embrace those trends and sort of, you know, what do you call that, parry and, you know, block and parry, and figure out how we can get the best food to people who are living in city environments. Now, the people who live in rural environments, very, very lucky, especially if you're able to grow your own food. But the name of the game in food now is minerals and getting minerals into your body. Actually, getting minerals into your cells. That is the name of the game in health. And so that's what we're working on. And we're trying to do that especially for people. We're trying to do it for everybody, but we're trying to do that especially for people living in city environments in a regenerative way who want to get the purest food on their dinner table for themselves and their family.
Yeah, I love it, Omar. And I'm going to jump in because I have so much to say about this. I mean, I've been really trying to educate people, particularly moms, about feeding their children, their families, nutrient-dense food, mineral-rich foods for decades. And really understood when with my book that's just getting reprinted right now. I called it The Absence of Soil, understanding that when we had no soil left, and Zach Bush talks about this, there's about 60 years left to grow food because we need that nutrient-dense soil, the minerals in the soil that are going to be in the foods. And sprouts are the most nutrient-dense food. When you're eating food in that short lifespan, you're getting the maximum nutrients in your body. So it's the best thing that we can be feeding our families. And the fact that you're really doing that in an urban environment where people might not have access, I love that. And I love that it's an educational model because it's really like homeschooling 101. Like, I wish I had that when I was raising my children. I had a more complicated method, and we won't go into that. But the other thing that I think is really interesting, and we watched the, the gym on the high wire where he did Dell's garden, and he was talking about planting it next to the house. And one of the things that River said when he was visiting the anesthesia communities in Russia was that they noticed that the food that was grown closer to the homes had more nutrition. It's almost like it kind of synchronizes, and you're talking about like on a cellular level how we're taking this nutrition. It's almost like we are communicating, right? We are living beings, water is moving through us, and we talked the whole importance of the water and the kind of water that we're using and what that, how that changes in our bodies. But I think there could be something about having these plants like growing in our own little ecosystem that could maximize that nutrition as well. So super excited 100%. About what you're doing. I cannot wait to have our own whole, house.
Tiny farm.
them. Yeah, our own tiny farm.
I just had an inspiration that I have to share. It's, I don't know if you've read the Anastasia books, but she kind of, the Raining Sea, there's a whole series of books. And some of the books she's talking about how to grow food, how to plant food. And she talks about, putting the seed in your mouth before you put
Activating
it in the
it.
Ground. So it gets your cellular memory, it gets the DNA, and it understands what's missing. It understands what's missing and what it needs to provide you with. I was just thinking, in your system, you should have a little spit tray.
Yes.
You should put a little spit tray in it that puts it into the water and adds your cellular, your own DNA and your needs.
Sure.
And then the microgreens that grow are going to really work.
Be specific for you.
Be specific for your family.
Sort of like... Yeah. All the nutraceuticals that they're doing that are all personalized, because it really is that kind of personalized nutrition. And then obviously the importance of the water, but definitely check out the books. When we meet you next week, we'll meet up for dinner. It's a series of 9 books. And it was actually one of the things that it was a series of books that I read over a decade ago. A lot of people that were in the raw food movement, and I had a raw vegan cafe, were obsessed with David Avocado Wolf was probably one of the people that was putting that out there. But when I found out that River had visited the actual communities in Russia, that was definitely one of our bonding moments. So
amazing.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Tremendous.
So I the fact that then you connected with Grant and Gustavo and encouraged them to join at the Greater Reset, we kind of were seeing this really comprehensive vision, because River's been working on, his background of architecture and modular homes, dreaming of this hemp home. But, when we talk about it as a living, breathing system, which of course goes in with your, bringing that plant life into it and how that could easily be included in that. And then when we were talking to Grant and Gustavo about their real focus to create these livable structures in a really efficient, fast way, basically popping up in minutes. And, and I'll let you guys talk about it, that we saw how that could easily be part incorporated with hemp. And maybe you can introduce them from your standpoint of why you're so excited about the structure and what they were creating, and then we'll have them share a little bit more.
Yeah, I was still wanting to know more from my mouth, actually.
I know. We're going to come back.
We'll come back to you.
We're gonna,
I was like already
around.
Percolating more questions to ask. I am, obviously it's very relevant for me to introduce you guys, Grant and Gustavo, and I know you have a team growing around you, but what I really love the most, well, not the most, but one thing that really resonated with me is that you guys met at a natural building workshop doing aircrete, and for me, and it was a very similar thing for me, because that was my kind of turning point. After I left the commercial world of architecture and construction project management internationally, was going to Africa and doing an aircrete workshop, just like you guys did, and doing and seeing hands-on, putting together with a bunch of people that you don't know, but all of a sudden you get to this place and you realize you're all on the same page. You're all looking for that thing that because you want to step out of the existing paradigm and start being the creators of what's possible. And I think that Aircrete technology and the technology of building homes based on DIY systems and using the form of nature, like the dome, was such a powerful experience, because I'd been building, 50-story tower buildings for Ritz-Carlton hotels and, massive concrete infrastructure, huge projects. 8 years it took to build the St. Regis Hotel in Cairo, I was involved in, and, 5 years for the Ritz-Carlton in Kazakhstan, and, massive projects. And to see how possible it is in a couple of weeks to put together a structure someone to live in, I think, was a game changer. And maybe, Grant, you could talk a little bit about that. Like, what was the birth of this abundance building concepts that you guys came up with? And what was your real intention behind that?
Yeah, thank you, River.
And you can unmute.
Okay. For sure. Essentially, for us, we wanted to decentralize everything that's essential to life. You look at people's budgets, what's the first thing that most of your money goes to is towards housing. And when you started studying housing, we want to break it down, just back down to the foundation. What is this all about? And the materials have not changed in 100 years. It's just wood and nails. If it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality. So I went to the Aircrete workshop, and that's where we met. We saw that Aircrete works. It totally works. It's a solution. But for me, it was overwhelming with no building experience at all. I need to learn these certain recipes, buy these certain machines to make the air bubbles. Building the forms is somewhat complex. And we just got inspired. Like, what could this be more efficient? Could there be a way to make this faster? So you're right. At that event, there was tons of people on the same wavelength. We could do this different. And when I got paired up with Gustavo, who's a super genius engineer, I felt limitless. We could make anything. And we studied the best shapes in nature. And my first design, I invented an expandable Huberman sphere that can become a dome house. You can see that on our website at abundancebuildingconcepts.com. So now you can instantly frame a house and then plug in panels or spray a ferro cement on it to have a house built in one day. But Gustavo fell in love with the Catalan vault, which is an even stronger structure from Catalonia, Spain. And we always wanted to integrate it into our communities that we were designing. But about 3 or 4 months ago, he realized that this shape could actually be expandable too. And he took a Catalan vault and collapsed it down like an umbrella. So with that, it's another shippable design, easily expandable, and completely modular. You could do any material on it. You could put cement impregnated fabric, like we were saying. We could do it literally one day to spray water on it. Or you could do a hemp panel that's breathable. You could use recycled plastic. It's really unlimited what you could do with it. And we're really excited to see what our customers are going to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, the form is something that people aren't really used to. They might look at stuff like that. They're like, oh, that's beautiful. And then they go and like, but I like my square room. And I like my box. I think that's a little bit of the challenge for us as we come into new, exactly. I like to call box construction. It's kind of like we're creating our coffins early on, and we just get to decorate them so they look pretty and we feel good about slowly dying.
Well, that's one thing that's good about our Catalan. That's one thing that's good about our Catalan vault design. You realize it resonates with all different types of customers because the roof is vault and you get that biogeometry and the healthy energy, but the floor plan is still square. So for people who are transitioning the furniture or, getting used to these shapes, they still feel a level of comfort.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the way that they connect together too. And because they do have the, the four sides, and you can kind of plug them together to create multiple structures or larger structures. And Gustavo, maybe you can talk a little bit about that, about the form and about how that came around, maybe how that came about. What was your inspiration? I think you saw that one I did in Turkey, the earth bag house. We're using obviously nature's form. I did a little cabin on a trailer, and I used the catenary arch, which was like hanging the chains upside down getting the arch form, and then I flipped it and welded, made a jig and welded the framework for that structure. And I'm in love with that kind of form. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. Thank you, Imani and River, for inviting us and for having us today. Yes, well, the first impression was, as Grant once said, is how we can do this more efficient. And we start thinking, and this Grant with his genius, because he's a genius as well, and he starts thinking how we can do this more efficient. And the Catalan vault is a structure that has been using for centuries everywhere, and it's beautiful. And I don't know why society is not using it anymore. We like to, as you were saying, these boxes, houses that are completely squarey and squarey minded, and looking for more organic shapes. I found the Catalan vault. I started studying it, and I love it. I love it immediately. And yes, once we have the shape, we didn't know how to expand it, and we start thinking about how we can do this easy for people, because there's a technique for centuries that you can use tiles and put it together. But as Grant was saying, it's not easy for people that don't have any experience in building. So that's what we want to bring to people: easiness, so they don't feel overwhelmed. They don't feel intimidated with the process. So we realize that is the shape is exactly like an umbrella. So that's why how this all of this start. And yes, it's one more of our designs for bringing Chicago design of houses to people, to the regular people.
So Gustavo, you're basically saying I can build this house.
Exactly. That's our idea. That you say you see that, you say, I can do that. That's easy. Yes, I'm a physical engineer, so my background is not in building at all. And I love, I always love architecture and design and building and all of that. So if I can do it, anyway, I can do it basically, because I don't have any background in building at all. So yes, that was the idea exactly, man.
Well, that's interesting because River, you know, being in a designer too, building his first house by hand in California, the one that you guys saw on his website that was on the Discovery Channel. And I love that all of you have felt motivated to literally take things into your own hands. And I just want to acknowledge each of you representing what we're launching a series called Emancipation, and really about honoring the divine masculine that's stepping forward and holding this space for us to all together, men and women and families and everyone on the planet, to really build out this new timeline. So I just want to acknowledge each of you for stepping out of whatever matrix or paradigm you were in and really having the courage and the wisdom and the strength to move out of that and move forward. Because like you said, Gustavo, not having even that experience of building, but knowing that something else needed to be birthed and come forward. And Amar, with you, you know, your illness, I mean, I know so many people who have, you know, realized that their dis-ease was basically because of the non-food that we as humans have been misled to eat when other animals don't eat food that's not food. I mean, and they're trying to basically create it so that we'll be in these coffins eating pellets and in the metaverse. And so I just really want to acknowledge and thank each of you because, you know, my connection with River sort of brought this full circle. We're just coming on our 1 year together of how we are as in divine partnerships. And I know that that's relevant for all of you too, of how we're relating to each other and how we're relating and being in community, because the relationships are so important. And not participating and continuing the old propaganda and old paradigm. So thank you. And because I know when River had that experience of doing that hands-on building, it shifted things for him in a really big way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Thanks for that. Always appreciating and honoring the men who are coming forward. I think in these times, with that feminine side, with that side of care and nurture, and growing and collaboration, and out of that mindset of the old masculine of competition and aggression. And, you know, I think that was the really beautiful thing about all of our club coming together and meeting is the desire to listen and to improve and to you know, really hear what each of us have to offer in this, right? Exactly, Gustav, like how we can mesh that together, just like the fabric that's going to cover your structure, it's kind of woven together, and we're like the glue, right? And Imani is like the water, you know. She waters us, you know, as that feminine really knows how to do, to bring all them elements together. And, you know,
well, everything that you guys all do needs water. Hemp, your structures, the plants, so it's all perfect.
All life. Yeah.
I have to say that Gran and me, we have our wives that they are taking care of the kids right now, but they are also part of the project, super active in the project. So this is of course, it's a masculine and feminine integration of energies to get this realization. So
I want to say too, you know, I think the reason that masculine energy has to step up right now is because the globalists have essentially declared war on our way of life. They're saying the Great Reset, the main theme that everyone's speaking about is the World Economic Forum's goal for 2030 is you will own nothing and be happy.
Right.
Who can agree to that future? That's like terrorism. If I walked into a bank and said you will own nothing, I'd be in prison. But because they're wearing pink sweaters, they can get away with it. I don't understand. So we saw this as an opportunity and a time that we didn't have a choice. We need a faster solution for building houses. We need a type of food production, like a mod garden, that can't be taken away. So we're trying to create irrevocable freedom and perpetual abundance for all that. It's unstoppable.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's really worth coming together around, I think, you know. You know, I felt that hemp super relevant, and it somehow, hemp's kind of the bridge, right? Because it ties into what you're doing, Amar. It ties into the food system. It ties into agriculture. And at the same time, it very much connects to the building, to what the clothing, to all these elements.
Our new hemp shirts, our new Haven Earth hemp shirts.
I think everybody got to see them.
Love it. Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, and we talked about, like, the processing plant that's coming here in Texas that could be literally making the eco-plastics, the bioplastics that are going to be used for your gardens, Amar, and for the fabric that's going on the home. So it really is that kind of weaving us all together. It's like the ultimate in regenerative solutions, because there's so many uses to hemp. And so
that's for us,
it's like it encourages collaboration, right? It, as River says, it's the connector plant. And so, and that's what we experience, that we connect with others around this plant, and it really opens up that door for us to collaborate. So
there's no question. There's no question. Yeah. I cannot do this by myself. We need partnerships, but we need partnerships that are on the same page. And a lot of people throw around the word sustainable. It's like the en vogue word in the globalist vernacular. And they don't actually know what they're talking about. It needs to. You can only have sustainability with regenerative, hand in hand. They go together. And it's very important that when I form a partnership with Mod Garden, with anyone, that they're also embodying that philosophy, that methodology, and they understand what it means to go back to a regenerative mindset where we're giving more back to the earth. And it's not net zero that we're after. We're after net positive.
Yes.
Again, people talk about net zero. No, we need to give. We're stewards of the earth, and we need to give more back to the earth from what we produce. And it's very possible that those are the models that I've embodied in Mod Garden, for instance. So.
I just love the way that
shifting to from takers to givers, right?
100%. 100%.
Yeah, and that, and it kind of reflects back our gratitude for what we're actually receiving here. Yeah, and I think what also connects us all is this desire to help others. It's not like, ah, I've got a great business idea, I can make a ton of money. It's like, yeah, I really want to do this for humanity. I really want to do this for the future. And also, let's make it economical too, because otherwise it is not regenerative. And you know, I always said that about sustainability, is that it's a clever word, actually. It's a clever use of the
it is
word. They've actually, because anything can be sustainable. Torture can be sustainable. COVID narratives can be sustainable. Like, there is, you know, there is nothing about the word that alludes to health, regeneration, nature. It just alludes to, they've just twisted it.
It doesn't go away.
Right. But what I think is really cool is, like, you know, the Mod Garden is actually about giving people the tools to support themselves. And the same with,
to be healthy,
the abundance buildings concept. It's a tool to give to the people so they become freer and they become empowered and they get released and they become released from that, you know, that system of bad language and destruction. Sorry, go on, Emma.
Right. Yeah, no, you know, I use the word democratizing, but, you know, that seems like a big word. Decentralizing is probably a better word, where we're putting the power back into the people's hands. And that's exactly what I want to do here is I would like to educate people about, because we've lost the art of farming. We've lost the art of growing good food. If you ask a child in the city in Toronto, where does this apple come from? They'll be like, oh, it comes from Walmart. It comes from the grocery store. Far from it. And we do need to go back to teaching our children our sources of food and decentralizing this and basically empowering people to take their future into their own hands. And while we want to educate and we want a captive audience, we also want people to be completely free about how they interact with the tiny farm, our products, for instance. I'm not tying anyone to anything with respect to, you know, moving forward, but we do want to educate you. We want you to understand, well, what is food? Food is a method of transporting minerals to our cells. It's as simple as that. Yes, people think that food is, it's fun to eat and it's beautiful to the eyes and all of that. I'm not taking any of that away, but we need to go back to the basics about what food is. And just one other point. You know, this period that we're in, where there's an enlightenment going on, we had to move through the industrial age. We launched into the industrial age in the early 1900s, and then it took off in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and it was a very money-centric world. It still is, that we lived in, and I lived in myself, you know, being on Wall Street, and I saw it firsthand what was going on and the pillaging that was happening on Wall Street of the underclass, of the people who are below the economic line. This had to happen in order for us humans to come back and realize what's wrong and to really fight. And that's, you know, going back to your point earlier, we needed this hit to have happened to us, or this period to have happened to us, for us to realize, no, that is not what we want. We don't want to live that way. We want to live together in a cooperative. I prefer the word cooperative over collaborative. I think collaborative is an elite word. Is a war word. Cooperative. We come together and we work for the sake of each other. And that's really what's the most important thing. And that's what we embody in the principles in Mod Garden. And how we're
I love that, Amar. Go ahead, Gustavo.
Sorry, Manny. No, I just want to comment. It's funny because I remember what you were saying about the kids you asking about the food, and they said they came from Walmart. We went to an apple farm near here where we live, and I took an apple from the ground, and I went about to eat it. And one of the kids that went by said, "Are you going to eat that? It was on the floor." I said, "Where do you think it's coming from?" they are so disconnected of reality. They think that the food is coming, I don't know where from. I said, "This is coming from here." So, yeah. And I think it was funny. And another thing I want to say is what I think is we are doing is very important. It's more than fighting. I think we are proposing new ways to do things. Mm. And that's the beauty. And that's the beauty of all of this. Because we were proposing with all of our ideas, with the hemp, with the mood garden, with our ideas, is just showing a different way to do things. I don't need to fight your way. I want to present you a new way, and it's here it is. Here it is for you, and if you want to take it, it's yours. So I think that's the beauty of love, of giving, what you just were saying, Amar.
Yeah, new models.
Agreed.
One second, Grant, I'll come to you, but new models and new words, because the languaging is so important, and I love that you distinguish between the, you know, cooperative and collaboration, because I feel the same way with community and village. There's an elite kind of exclusiveness to just saying we're going to be in community. You think of the gated communities and getting away and exiting, right? We talk about this exit strategy, and really we're returning. And I've raised my children with what I tried, instincts intact, and knowing that energy GPS, because the children of today don't know where their food comes from, and they don't have that inner knowing, that inner guidance that is when we're connected to nature and understand where we come from and where food comes from, that is that cellular knowing that's intact. And that's really a lot of what we just referenced before in the Anastasia books, is returning, remembering, putting ourselves back together. And with that, that's kind of where River and I have come to the idea of moving beyond a model of community, but really a village, and the sovereign village that we talked about at the Greater Reset, that a village encompasses more of what you're saying, Amar, around cooperation, right? Rather than just the collaboration, because it's like, you know, in collaboration, it's like, well, we're choosing, you know, there is this exclusivity. And in as we cooperate, and that's really how we will come together, because there has been a silver lining in this pandemic. We have gotten so far off track, so far off from our inner guidance, our inner knowing, that we had to have something that was such a shock to bring us back to the point where we could consider actually being cooperative, because we don't know how to be that way, right? So I love that this is sort of where the point where we've all arrived, and other people are joining in that, and that we can really template out. And the other piece for me is always about creating a model that can be duplicated and scaled using what they've done on us, but to our advantage, so that we're not doing these, you know, hiding off on a mountain and building these one-off houses, but the ability to build something like a home or a garden that can feed or house the basic needs, shelter and food, to everyone, regardless of your social status or where you're at. It's just phenomenal. So with that, Grant, I'll kind of pass it back to you.
Yeah, you're right on the same wavelength with me. So obviously education is the most important thing, but people are waking up all the time. The enlightenment is happening, but we need to give them an exit ramp off of the rat race. And, you know, when you look at how are we going to combat this, or how are we going to offer a different path when they're choosing to fight us? You think about, what's the word that, in one word, if you can describe what the globalists are doing to us, I use the word technocracy. It's technological control. Government has always tried to control people, but now they have new tools in their tool bag using technology. So the only way we're going to fight a technocracy would be to use our own technology, our own solutions that have never been seen before that can rapidly deploy. And there's another project we saw at the Greater Reset called Quartal, which is a blockchain project that decentralizes all communications, all websites. You can mint cryptocurrency in the background of your house. So we're making lots of different collaborations with food, with finance, with housing, off-grid utilities, where you could literally live an uncancelable life. recently they've called us non-essential, or as you've been deplatformed, the goal is to cancel our way of life. So we need technology to really combat this.
Absolutely. I love that you brought in the financial piece of that, because I think that, you know, for us, it's all about the education and economics. And that's the template that we're bringing into the Sovereign Village model. Like, you know, you can't be building, you know, and I love that you guys have abundance. We're all talking abundance of food, abundance of buildings, that there's we need to realign that nature and life is inherently abundant. And we've been programmed to think in scarcity terms. And so a return to that, that there is enough. And, you know, we listened to some of the talks, but last night we were kind of like in the late hours to Austin Fitz, Catherine Austin Fitz. And she was talking about that there was at one point, I don't know how many different locales, but everyone had their local currency. And that's the other thing that we're looking at, like that piece of it where we have those local currencies, because those yin currencies, what we call it, those are more feminine than the ones that we're used to, which are about hoarding and ownership. I mean, that all of this, we can be abundant and we can actually have things. We don't have to have nothing, you know, like what they want. We can change that descriptive, that script, basically, that narrative.
I don't know if it's a question or not, but it's around the idea of where we do this, as much as how we do this, in terms of, like, you know, where we, like, because we envision and we're envisioning with the Sovereign Village, it's a decentralized system. So we're connecting with the farmers, we're connecting with the growing of the hemp, and the idea to create the fabrication of the hemp panels, the hemp products, these things, hemp homes, in these decentralized locations, in the setting of a more agrarian model. You know, do you guys have some insight into that in terms of where you would do manufacturing, and could that be, because we have people who are Haven Earth and they're like, we're Haven Earth South Africa and we want Haven Earth to come
Costa Rica.
South.
We have a hub coming in Costa Rica, another one in Mexico.
We want Haven Earth in South Africa. You know, when are you going to bring Haven Earth South Africa? It's like, is there a model that can be replicated? Because we understand, like, I can only build so many houses and so much hemp stuff. So how are you guys thinking in that way, too, to create a model that can be replicated out there?
Well, and I love, Amar, I forgot to say this, but the fact that you have your proprietary soil blend and that you're actually making soil, that's a part of it. We didn't really talk about that. So you obviously are thinking something in that lines, right? Because you're needing to create soil. So how are you envisioning that part of your
time? So if you want to break down our two introductory or inaugural products, the first one is the appliance or the tiny farm, and that'll be high capacity manufacturing. I would like to keep it in the United States for various reasons, or Canada, actually. But speaking about soils, so the tiny farm, which is a high capacity manufacturing product, can be done in one or two places in the world. It might be strategically better for the Asian market to do it in Asia, and it may be better for the American market and the European market to do it somewhere in Europe or in the Americas. Now, with respect to soil, we are completely decentralizing this. And the reason why is there's a difference in microbes, in micropopulations across the world. And if you've noticed, if you've traveled anywhere, if you go to South America, if you go to Asia, different parts of Asia, you'll notice that the food tastes different. They have different types of vegetables. Why is that? It's because of the micropopulations that live underground. We want to honor that. So we want to create soil hubs around cities. Mm. Again, I'm speaking specifically about cities, but it includes rural too. But my primary market has been cities because they're the most at risk in terms of health issues.
Right.
Inner city families, senior
living people, you know, people who, the elderly who are living in these cities who are not, who are unable to get. So what would we do? We would create soil warehouses locally to a city population. I think the cutoff point is 5 million people. We would have one warehouse. We would create the soil in a regenerative way, which is we would take the compost waste, and this is our, the net zero, the net positive that I was speaking about earlier. We would take the compost waste, table scraps and paper, rejuvenate it, regenerate it in the condo towers or the office towers, and then use that as an ingredient to recreate the soil back again.
Love it.
And we would do that locally across the world, embodying and keeping true to the microbes that are growing and the nature that's already existing there. We're honoring nature and earth and the local makeup of, you know, the community and the village that, that's already there. So we're honoring that. That's how we're doing it. That's how we plan to do the soil specifically.
Beautiful.
That's awesome. I would love, and I know we're a long stretch away from that, but one of the people in our group, she isn't, you know, human newer, holy shit, she calls it.
Right.
That our own waste is sacred, and actually,
The Church of Holy Shit.
The Church of Holy Shit, she calls it. Is that you know?
We're personally not.
And she's, and
right,
she's
exactly.
In,
but
she's
I
in
can
New York
see,
City,
I can see, I can see that. You know, like right. How, because now we just want to get rid of it, right? We want to put it all in pipes and send it off somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like you see these factory farms. They're saying, you know, like this is the reason for global warming, that cow shit, cow farts or whatever. It's just insanity. But it's not surprising because they're dumping, you know, the waste from thousands of these animals who are being fed toxic food, and they're putting it into like holding tanks. Of course it's going to turn into toxic sludge. I mean, there's just so much of that. But when you can reintroduce that material back into nature, you know, then it's that full cycle, right? I mean, I think that's what we're all looking for, is like, how do we capture all of the goodness that there is and to not make it into something that's unhealthy and creating an issue. So I love that, Amar. I love the way that this can tie into the agriculture and the soil again, and be, you know, kind of brought back into.
I mean,
the
you know, the
brought back into the town.
Yeah, the process of waste, whether it's municipal solid waste or whether it's compost, table scrap waste, it's pushed aside as it's waste, and that attitude creates a wasted planet. But when we turn that around, and for instance, I just learned this with a composting toilet, and it's an amazing piece of innovation. And it's literally, we're going back 100 years. We used to compost everything back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like kitty litter, basically. I don't want to get too deep into that discussion, but it is such a non-wasteful, such an regenerative way to handle waste, municipal solid waste specifically. I think there's something there. We're not personally getting into that, but it's something that I've learned, and you know, just to speak to your point there.
Right, right. Yeah. It's definitely coming down the road. Grant, maybe you can chime in.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say at Abundance Building Concepts, we also have a global model. We've always believed in abundance for all, so we are strategizing where to manufacture and potentially doing a franchise model to spread it to the globe as fast as possible. And like Amar, we have a strategy to make a circular economy. Because our houses can be made with recycled materials, we have one of my inventions that I haven't shown anybody yet, is a way to have essentially a trash chute that comes out of your house that's separated by the type of material, plastic, glass, metal, with a shredder attachment or a crusher attachment for each type. And then we could potentially collect all of that, sell it for recycling, or reuse it in our houses. So our long-term vision is to be totally sustainable, or not sustainable, that's not the word we're using anymore. Totally totally circular economy.
Regenerative.
Reuse waste to make more houses and keep that price really low. I don't know if we mentioned our price yet. We're trying to make it a $15,000 house for every 600 square feet, which would just revolutionize the housing market if we can reach mass production.
Well, I encourage everyone.
I love that about that.
Yeah. I'll encourage everyone to go to the websites. We put it up there for both of you, and I'll put them up one more time as we come to the end of the hour. But the piece that is so interesting about the design is that with the dome houses and obviously having gardens in between, is that we're really building out these new village models, right? It's not just the kind of suburbia homes that we've done, but how those actually integrate. And I think that ties in with your vision and all of the designs that you've done that I've seen. It's like, I always look at River's drawings and I feel like I go into one of those kids' books, like a little village, like wow. But it's like the bigger picture of what these places that we're going to be living in are looking like. So yeah. I think, and the idea of it creating the economics of what all of you are creating, of the people that are going to be participating in this, we're building out that new economy. Right. So that's sort of the design model that we're leaning into.
Yeah, and I think one thing we didn't touch on, which I think is oftentimes one of the least talked about parts of this shift, is a real strong need for beauty. How relevant that is to the human spirit.
There's no question.
Because I see people, they're getting into their tiny home ideas. They're getting into
living in smaller spaces.
They're getting into living in shipping containers. Live in a shipping container. It's great. It's, you know, it's like we're recycling. We're using this. We're using that. And then also the earth ships where they're recycling trash. I think these are. There's really good things about all of that. But what I always lean back on and always use as my metric is, what do we want to create for the future? Do we want to create a society of people that are living in metal boxes? Do we want to create a society of people who are living in these tiny homes that can be moved? Because then that kind of, for me, the tiny home concept of being on wheels really fits in quite neatly with the globalist agenda of you will own nothing and be happy.
And live in a box.
And steel is a very unhealthy material to be living in. It's the energetics of steel are a very dirty conductor of energy. So if you can imagine, we're energetic beings and we're supposed to be receiving energy from the earth, then that connection is a very dirty connection. So
isn't Elon Musk living in a box home, and he's showing people he's not being, you know, he's showing people that I have a lot but I can live in nothing.
Right.
And it's a way to get people used to it's okay to move into a small box square home.
The new program. It's the new agenda.
Right. That's right.
I mean, if I know you've been to China, Amar, and I've been there. Imani's been there. You just go there and you see what it's all about. I mean, you see where they want the mass population to be living, how they should be acting in this herd type of mentality.
That's right.
It's been played out there already, and people just need to look at China to see where they want the rest of us to go. And
it's so dystopic.
And make their decisions based on that. It is. It's insane. So I was I was so scared going into Hong Kong and seeing these massive towers. We have no idea what a residential tower building looks like until you go to China and you see these things 100 stories high, 100 stories wide, and 100 stories deep. And you think, how do people get fucking light? How do they see the sunlight? How do they even get out of the building?
Well, if you're in your metaverse and you have your mask on, it doesn't matter.
It
won't matter. No, absolutely. Very important to embody biophilic design in whatever
you do. And one of the challenges that I had when I was engineering, well, I was I'm not an engineer personally, but is because, you know, once you hand it over to an engineer, the engineer has, especially today in the last, you know, generation of engineers, they're just rudimentary and they're spitting out efficient product that's sized in a particular way. But I wanted the reaction to Tiny Farm, which is our appliance product, to be beautiful. Oh my God, it's beautiful. That's what I wanted people to exclaim first, not the functionality. I didn't want people to care about anything else other than, hey, wow, look at this. And that is the reaction that we got. So we wanted to embody beauty in this box type environment that people are living in, so that they could see that beauty and so they could see the starkness of the difference between where they're living and what they're, and there's a rhyme and reason behind beauty, as we all know. We know that there is a definition behind beauty,
right?
And I had to I had to push back considerably with the engineers,
right.
And so, but the last point I just wanted to make was that, you know, growing plants in a biogeometrically sound containment
structure
pulls in optimal energy from the surroundings and makes plants grow healthier. Now, I don't have a scientific basis behind this, but there have been some studies.
But I feel it, Amar. I feel it.
Yes.
Well,
yes. I do too. I do too.
Well, it's interesting, Amar, because, and you know, your cultural background, and you know, we've been working with some people in the past who come from India and from the temple building. From the lineage of temple builders in India that are to do with the Vedic culture and Vastu, and basically creating form that harnesses cosmic energies that literally purify the inhabitants, purify the land around that. The power,
they're temples.
The power of form.
That's
I think we don't we've lost connection with that, obviously, by living in these boxes, which are really not formed in any way that relates to nature, and maybe you can talk that a little bit, Gustavo, about the form, because you guys are very much in tune with that, I think.
Yes, definitely, and there is, Amar, in fact, a lot of scientific research about it, and there's a lot of work around. I don't remember names right now. I remember from Masaru Emoto. I don't know if you know about this.
Yes,
this Japanese book. Yes. And so much other works are about the not only the shape but the beauty. There was a study, I don't remember who did it, but they put some babies in front of different pictures, and they realized that the people with the face more symmetrical, they attract more the attention of the babies, so the babies react to the beauty. They also put it some images of garbage and some buildings from Greece and Serta, and they realized that the babies were more attracted to this beautiful structure of Serta. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely, beauty is something that affects us as human beings, as energetic beings, and there's a lot of research about it right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we're coming at the top of the hour, and this has been an incredible conversation. We'll definitely have all of you on for more and doing even just a presentation that we can share with our audiences. You know, but I just so grateful for us all coming together, and I am envisioning this ultimate incredible structure
that's and the prototype that we're gonna come together to do. I think that that's gonna be
very
the next level. That's gonna
exciting.
Be amazing if we can do that, and I'm sure doing it down in Texas could be really a really hot spot for that. There's so much going on, and I know you guys are going to be part of the exit and build
in May,
so I think we'll be starting to put some plans together.
We're already putting plans together, so we'll hopefully by that point have our location where we can R&D some of this. It's great that you're already here, Amar, and that Gustavo and Grant, you'll be coming back And that's really what we want to do, is see how we can create this kind of ultimate way of living that's in alignment with nature, and that really promotes health for all beings. So really, really grateful for each of you doing what you're doing and coming together on this, and whatever brought us all together. So thank you so much.
We're very grateful. Yeah, grateful to you too. The pleasure is ours. I feel very privileged to be here.
Mm. Yes. And you got your hemp hat as well.
I got the hemp hat, man. Can't let it go.
I wore my hemp shirt for this.
Yeah, yay. Gustavo, you didn't have on your hemp hat.
Oh, I bought it, but I don't have it right now.
Yeah. But we'll have this up. It's obviously up on the Haven Earth YouTube channel and the Regeneration series. Look for more to come. And if you are new to us and just tuning in, you can go to havenearth.biz. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.